The reading this morning is in two parts. We'll start with Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And if you turn to Luke chapter 23, verses 8 to 12. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Thanks be to God.
Now let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you that it is the unseen Spirit who has inspired your word and who has preserved your word for us through the generations. And now we pray that the one who inspired the word would enable us to understand more of your truth and to lead us forward more closely living in your ways and more deeply trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Friends, just before Christmas, I think actually it was on Christmas Eve, Pope Benedict was addressing Vatican staff, and he called upon them to take their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ into the world and to make an impact. In the kind of people that they are, in the values that they lived by, to give, or to bear witness rather, to the presence of Christ in our world. It was that phrase, taking their encounter with Christ into the world, that really caught my attention. It's a powerful image. What we gather in our relationship with Jesus, to take that out into the world and make a difference. And it made me think of all those people down through the years who've asked me how it's possible for them to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who lived 2,000 years ago. How is it possible for me to have a relationship with him in order to take into the world? Well, that's where our Bibles come in, friends. I believe that it is possible as we study God's Word, or rather, as we meditate upon God's Word, for us to have a living encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just a historical figure that we can learn about. He is a living person with whom we can have a relationship. Maybe you've noticed all the stuff that's coming out about Charles Dickens at the moment. It's because this year is the 200th anniversary of his birth. And the books about him are just running off the presses. So it's possible for us to know a lot about Charles Dickens, who was born 200 years ago. But it's not possible for us to know Charles Dickens. What I'm saying to you this morning is that it is possible for us to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we meditate upon His Word, His Spirit is with us and enabling us to relate to Him as a living presence. One of our congregations sent me a photograph just the other day there. They had spent some time in Brazil and they visited a Lutheran church. And in the pulpit of this Lutheran church, there was a portrait of Martin Luther himself. I'm not quite sure how I would feel about that. Coming into a pulpit, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and the great man frowning at me. But perhaps it would be a reminder to me of how Luther regarded the preaching of God's Word. Because for Martin Luther, preaching was a very, very exciting business. He believed that when he stepped into a pulpit to deliver God's Word, he wasn't giving a lecture about Jesus. Martin Luther believed that when he stepped into a pulpit and when he connected with the Word of God, he was bearing witness to the living presence of Christ in the midst of his people. So that if there was anyone who was present as he was preaching, and they felt a need for forgiveness, Luther could preach the forgiveness of Christ, and that person could receive that forgiveness now. It wasn't just a theory. Luther could preach the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ's forgiveness, and that could be experienced now. And he also believed that if there was anyone who had lost the way in their life, and they perhaps needed a renewal of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if Luther preached that to an assembly of God's people and someone felt that need, they could receive it now. And that change could happen in their lives. And if there was anyone in a congregation whose knees were trembling, whose soul was in trouble as they considered the final challenge of death, Luther believed that he could preach the risen Christ and that person would receive assurance now. Not just as a theory or ideas to mull over. Preaching the Word of God bore witness to the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that he had to offer could be experienced in the here and now. Come to church burdened. Come to church confused. Come to church frightened. Luther believed you could leave. Having heard the word of God, you could leave a changed person, because the solution to all of these things was available. Now that's the way I feel about preaching. I've heard all the jokes. I've laughed at some of them. Sometimes your smile becomes a wee bit fixed. But always I believe that when I and when other people like me throughout Scotland today connect with God's word and share it with a people, a living encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ is possible. Now that doesn't mean to say that there is immediate satisfaction for absolutely everything that we lack. God has to be God. Jesus has to be Jesus. Everything has to fall to us within His will. And so it's possible for people to ask and not receive. That was the experience of many people with Jesus. People came to Him asking for things and it was not given. And sometimes it broke Jesus' heart. At least on one occasion I can think of, it broke Jesus' heart that he could not give what was asked for. But He always had to be true to who He was. And sometimes His response to people was challenging more than comforting. And we see that in the encounter with Herod that Richard read to us earlier. Last week we heard how Pilate struggled with this man who claimed to be the Son of God. And now he's passed them on to Herod, one of the three puppet kings in Israel at the time that the Romans had established. And it seems to us that this Herod is more open to Jesus than perhaps the Sanhedrin were and perhaps Pilate was. We're told that he was greatly pleased to see Jesus standing before him. He was delighted to see Jesus because he'd heard about Jesus' miracles and he wanted to see a miracle. And he'd heard about Jesus' wisdom and Herod had questions. But at the end of the day, Herod was disappointed. Miracles were not performed in his presence. We're told that he had been wanting to see Jesus for a long time. And from what he had heard about him, he hoped to see Jesus perform some miracle. We know about the miracles of Jesus. And Herod would have heard all about them, how Jesus could take small quantities of food and feed thousands of people. How Jesus could reach out to people who were suffering from disabilities and wasting diseases and heal them. And how he could say the word and a raging storm could be calmed. Jesus not only spoke about the kingdom of God, he actually brought the kingdom of God into the here and now. And that is why we're told so many people used to come to hear Jesus, because of the miracles. So it's understandable, if Herod has this man in front of him, that he says to him, do here and now what you've been doing all over the place. Here's one of my servants who's ill. Cure him. Here's a sandwich. Feed my whole household with it. There's my swimming pool out there. Let's see you toddling across it, if you really are the Son of God. But Jesus knew that to dazzle people with these kind of tricks These kind of things, which were designed to make people gap and gaze by the order of someone. That was not the answer. That was not the way to people's hearts. What Jesus wanted was people to respond to him for who he was. Not just because of what he did, but to respond to him for who he was. You know, that is probably the most important question that Jesus ever asked in his ministry. When that day he said to his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" That's what is most important. How are people responding to me? And you know, friends, the church discovered later on an amazing thing. That when people responded to the Lord Jesus Christ for who he was, when people placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they received the Holy Spirit in their lives. They received the Spirit who enabled them to believe that they were part of God's family, standing alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were led to witness to the world that this was the greatest miracle of all. That the Spirit of God could come into their lives and stay there and never be removed. The Apostle Paul came to think of this as being as if he has been born anew. He was a new creation, and that was never altered. And friends, I don't want to suggest that it's inappropriate for you to pray for healing and to pray for the things that you need at this particular point in time. But what I want to bring home to you as of prime importance is this, that things can always change in our lives. Our health can break down. Family life can become fraught. Work can become a nightmare. But if we have responded to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have that personal faith in him, if we have that tight connection to him, that can never be altered by any circumstance. And in his presence, we can gather the strength that we need. We can experience the peace that we need. And our souls can light up with the hope that we need. Jesus said, "Those who belong to him are his forever. No one can snatch them out of my hand." That's what he said. You know, when we were going down to Cheltenham the other week there to see Stephen, we had booked our seats, but on three occasions, people came up to us and said, "These are our seats." Don't know if you've ever had that experience. Now, the first couple of times, it was fairly straightforward. The third time, it was this rather aggressive young man. "Show me your ticket," he said. So I said, I said to him, "We've actually come down from Glasgow. And we've been sitting here the whole time." But I showed him the ticket. And it had the date, and it had the seat reservation, and he had to back off. We were secure in our seats. And friends, we have to work at our security in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what the circumstances, even if prayer has not been answered, no one will snatch us out of his hand. Believe what is written. Miracles were not performed. Questions were not answered. You know, we're told that Herod plied Jesus with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. Jesus did not respond to Herod's questions. The thing about questions is that Sometimes questions are not asked in order to arrive at the truth. Your questions can be asked to make someone look stupid. Questions can be asked to show off somebody's wisdom or knowledge. Questions can be asked just because they're daft. But Jesus knew the difference. Jesus knew when someone was a genuine seeker after truth. And when someone was just at it, then he knew. And he couldn't be bothered with it. Remember that episode we were thinking about just the other week there, where the Sanhedrin came to him and said, "Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "Well, if I give you an answer to that, you won't believe me. And if I ask you questions, I won't get a straight answer. What's the point?" So Herod was not given any answers to Jesus' questions. And even when the Sanhedrin began to pile on the pressure and to make Jesus feel as uncomfortable as possible, Jesus remained silent. Now again, I'm not saying to you, friends, that questions in relation to the gospel are inappropriate. Look at the way Jesus dealt with seekers after truth, especially if you get down to reading John's gospel. Read that third chapter as to how Jesus responded to the very meaningful questions of Nicodemus in order to bring him to the truth. But when people are not interested in the answers, then that is just the road to nowhere. Jesus respected truth too much to waste his time, because the truth was part of his identity. He said, "I am the truth concerning God." And he will always respond to the honest seekers after truth. You know, the Apostle Paul had to come to terms with the fact that there were questions in life which would never be answered. He said, in the words of the Authorized Version, "We look through a glass darkly." Some of the modern translations will say, We see puzzling reflections in a mirror. We don't see clearly. And that is something that we have to live with, friends. Sometimes questions will not be answered, but the one question that we can have resolved within ourselves is the truth concerning God. Because we have the witness, we have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shows us in human form what God is like. And we are called to work at that, to focus on the written word and to draw closer to the one who is the last word about God. In Herod's presence, miracles were not performed. Questions were not answered. And Herod made a decision in the end. Herod and his soldiers ridiculed Jesus. They mocked him. They dressed him up in an elegant robe and they sent him back to Pilate. That's all Jesus would ever be to Herod. A pretend king. A pantomime king. Let's dress him up and make him look more ridiculous than he actually is. This beaten up, bedraggled individual with his pathetic message and the disappointing nature of his response to me. He says he's a king, let's dress him up as a king. And there we see the cruelty, really, don't we? Because it's not enough just to dismiss the Son of God. Let's all laugh at him. And you know, I'm looking at this, friends, as I'm getting ready to deliver it. And I think to myself, on the first instance, well, this might be an opportunity for me to say something about that aggressive atheism that we're all having to suffer at the moment, which is not content just to disagree with us, but wants to mock us and to make us look ridiculous and to make our lives as uncomfortable as possible. But then I think to myself, well, maybe there's another point I need to apply to myself here. Is this really where I should be going? I mean, what are the chances of these people actually being present in church on the Lord's Day? I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to be there, and is this passage maybe speaking to me in some way? Because if Jesus is not really the king of my life, if Jesus does not rule my life, then what I am doing is just being like Herod, dressing him up in kingly robes, but not taking him seriously. That's the bottom line. I can sing Jesus is king, but does he really command my life? That's a question I ask myself. I hope it's a question, respectfully, that we can all ask. I've often been puzzled about that verse which tells us that Herod and Pilate became friends on the day that Herod sent Jesus back. Before this, they'd been enemies. Now, I don't think that means that they became palsy-wowsy, that they met for a drink now and again, you know, and that everything was wonderful. I think what it means is that their rejection of Jesus gave them ground to come together. They would always have that in common. And I just wonder, if Christ is not the Lord of my life, if Christ is not the King in my heart, then do I not have more in common with the aggressive atheists than I would like to think? They balk at Jesus' rule. If I do, then we're part of the same club. Herod had high expectations of Jesus. Perform a miracle. Let's see one of your holy tricks. Answer my questions. Jesus was silent. And at the end, there was only mockery. Jesus, in the midst of all of this, silent and just being himself. And that probably is the point of all of this. With everything that was going on round about him, Jesus is just being himself. And he's sent back to Pilate with all the expectations unmet, but he didn't stop being Jesus, the Son of God. And that's something that we all need to remember, friends. Whatever our circumstances, however disappointed I might feel when prayers are not answered, however disappointed I might be that there are things unresolved in my mind, the message is that Jesus is King. And what matters more than anything else is how I respond to him and how I make him the ruler of my life. Let's pray. God our Father, we stand before you today and pray that by your grace we might draw closer to our Lord, that his rule over our lives might be more sure, and that security at the center of our lives might be our strength, our hope, and our peace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.